You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. We turn our attention now to the African nation of Uganda. The United States is the number one bilateral donor to the East African nation of Uganda, and the U.S. has had a long-standing military partnership with its president, Museveni, and, of course, along with the Ugandan People's Defense Force. Uganda, in fact, invaded Rwanda in 1990, then the Democratic Republic of Congo in 1996 and 98, and then South Sudan in 2013, leaving millions dead or displaced. Observers therefore have an eye on the U.S. government's response to Uganda's presidential election coming up on February 18th. President General Yoweri Museveni began his 30th year in power in 2016, and he is running for his fifth term. Uganda's parliament abolished presidential term limits in Uganda to enable him to remain in power in 2005. Ann Garrison spoke to Milton Alimadi, Ugandan American editor of the Black Star News, about what to expect.
Milton Alimadi, what would you like to tell us about this upcoming Ugandan presidential election?
I think it's unique in that for the first time, we also have as a candidate one of the individuals who allegedly in the past had been involved in the rigging of the elections. And of course, I'm talking about Amama Mbabazi, the former prime minister until 2 years ago and secretary general of the ruling National Resistance Movement Party of General Yoweri Museveni. Amama Mbabazi has now declared that Museveni is indeed an autocrat, a dictator, and he's running against him. And they had an interesting presidential candidates debate, which was boycotted by the president on Friday the 15th. And the other leading candidate, Dr. Kizza Besigye, president of the Forum for Democratic Change, during a section of the debate when candidates were allowed to ask a question of the other candidate, he asked Mbabazi, "What knowledge do you have of past rigging in the elections?" And of course, Mbabazi deflected it, I would say, in a rather clever way and said since he was not directly involved, he's not aware, but he did hear rumors of rigging. And he said he would be willing to offer his experience and work together with candidate Dr. Besigye to make sure that rigging does not happen this time in this coming election.
I don't see how you could expect anything but a rigged election because reports have been that the Electoral Commission is once again not independent.
Absolutely. The outcome is probably predetermined in the incumbent's mind, General Museveni, and his hand-appointed electoral commission. But nevertheless, there are ballot boxes that need to be stuffed. And if Mbabazi says he has experience, meaning I presume he knows how it's done, perhaps he does have a way to make sure that it's not enough rigging to prevent going into a runoff. Because to avoid a runoff, General Museveni is going to have to win more than 50% of the vote. And many people think that is highly unlikely. Many people believe Besigye alone actually defeated him in the past elections. And obviously, the only reason why Museveni was declared the winner was because the Electoral Commission is handpicked by Museveni. But given the fact that we now have Mbabazi, who can pull votes away from the NRM, while Besigye may have actually expanded his base, I don't see how General Museveni would be able to get more than 50% of the vote.
Do you know how many dead people are registered this time?
A very good question. Actually, you know, that's a very important question, Anne. The numbers really don't matter. And I'm glad you just went to the meat of the matter. I think the most important factor in this election is going to be what the chairman of the Electoral Commission, Kigundu, Bata Kigundu, is willing to do on behalf of General Museveni. I don't think he's a person that is unintelligent. I think Mr. Kigundu is probably reading the signs on the wall, and I would be very surprised if he goes along with it one more time and allows General Museveni to steal these elections. I think he knows what the possible consequences might be, and I don't think he wants that to be his legacy. But then again, we don't know what kind of threat he's under. So we don't know what exactly is going to happen the day after these elections. There are many options. People are talking about the possibility of Museveni actually engineering a quote-unquote friendly coup d'etat that would be led by officers who would protect his interests and protect his family. Even the U.S. is aware that Museveni is a spent force and that his major concern is how to protect his family, how to protect himself, and the ill-gotten gains that people close to him have been able to reap over these 30 years. And I don't just speak based on speculation. Actually, I'm speaking based on a conversation with a U.S. senator who is very familiar with the region and knows General Museveni quite well.
There have been reports of many things that happened last time. Rallies are being broken up, candidates are being arrested, and it's reported that Museveni, his government, is preparing to spend a lot of state resources to buy this election.
Well, he's not doing anything in a different manner from at any time in the past. I think the only difference this time around is that the repression has been much more severe, and obviously you're aware he and the police chief, General Kali Kayihura, have trained this militia force called Crime Preventers, euphemistically. Human Rights Watch and Amnesty International called these militias to be immediately suspended before these elections. They're actually going around terrorizing people that they suspect may be voting for the opposition candidates. Some have been beaten up severely, some have been killed, and some have simply disappeared. So you're right. Going into the February 18 elections, there's no indication that Uganda has a chance to have peaceful and free and fair elections. But at the same time, I think Ugandans have reached their limit. I'm seeing a lot more sense of defiance. There was an incident where a candidate, Besigye, wanted to visit some people who had been displaced from their lands, and the land had been turned into game reserves. And now they're living in internal refugee camps, and they invited him to come in and witness their living conditions. And the police set a gauntlet to prevent him from going through. But his supporters, together with the candidate, marched right through, and the police panicked and fired live bullets and fired tear gas, and the people backed off. But then the people from the camp came and joined with the supporters of the candidate and once again proceeded to move forward. So in other words, when you see people now defying police who are firing tear gas and live shots, it gives you a sense of the mood in the countryside. So I think President Museveni, General Museveni, Dictator Museveni, together with his electoral commission, headed by Badru Kigundu, will be responsible for any consequences that will arise if these elections are stolen. And as I said, just looking by the level of defiance that people are now taking, I think people are willing to do their utmost to make sure that General Museveni does not get away with stealing the February 18 elections.
Okay, and what about this grisly incident? 13 male bodies washed up on the beach of Lake Victoria, and the government said, oh, they got drunk and drowned in the lake.
One of the several incidents where the government is trying to send a clear sign that these are the type of things that can happen to people that don't toe the line and would dare support the opposition. According to the police, there were 13 bodies, male bodies, that were found, and the police preposterously claimed they had all drowned after celebrating Christmas and apparently drinking too much. Okay, a couple of questions. Number one, how would the police come to that conclusion since not a single autopsy was performed? So obviously this was a manufactured and convenient explanation. That's number one. Number two, the police claimed they identified the bodies. How did they identify the bodies? Many of the bodies were semi-nude. How would they have been able to get a hold of their IDs in order to identify them? And then the other thing is that several of the males were actually Muslims. Again, I don't know how that was determined, but let's go with that for a second. Why would Muslims be celebrating Christmas? So a lot of this does not make sense. And the most critical and important thing is actually the owners of the beachfront hotels where these individuals allegedly have been celebrating the holiday season, all of them said that they did not witness a single incident and that they patrolled the waters off their hotels, including with speedboats, and that out of the entire celebration season, only one family came to report that a relative of theirs who had gone swimming had disappeared. Just one report. So obviously there are many questions. People think that this was a clear sign to try and intimidate people that the government was sending out. And then, of course, the second incident is the one that's been widely also reported, the so-called disappearance of Christopher Aine, who is a senior aide to one of the candidates, Amaman Babazine. And subsequently, a photograph of a body appeared in one of the local papers in Uganda, and his sister, Aine's sister, said that indeed was a photograph of the corpse of her brother, and it's believed that he has been killed on the orders of the police chief, General Kayihura, who, of course, would take his orders from General Museveni.
How credible a mediator do you think General Museveni is in the Burundian situation?
That's almost like Hitler being a mediator in any crises in Europe in the 1940s. It is preposterous. It does not make sense. How can a genocidal killer hope to help another country avert a domestic crisis? It's preposterous. And it also points out the hypocrisy, outrageous hypocrisy of the international community to even allow someone with his reputation and his history to, quote-unquote, be a mediator in any political crisis in another country.
Okay, and lastly, what sort of stance do you think the U.S. is going to take with regard to this election?
The U.S. will take a wait-and-see stance. The U.S. just wants a partner that the U.S. can work with. If General Museveni steals these elections, if there's enough resistance from the population and they refuse to allow General Museveni to steal the elections, and if he acts with brutality, if he unleashes bloodshed, I see the U.S. actually at some point issuing a statement telling him to step down. I think the U.S. has realized that the Ugandans have reached the limit and they're willing to take any measure and any action to make sure that the 30-year regime, dictatorship of Yoweri Museveni, does not continue in Uganda.
Nelson Alamani, thank you for speaking to KPFA.
Thank you so much, as always.